W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. I don't know if any of you guys have seen these videos, but they keep appearing on my Instagram page, Instagram Reels Discover page. They're so funny to me. They crack me the fuck up. And it's funny to me strictly because of how like angry people are in the comments, because they think it's real when it's so clearly not real. But it's, I don't know, it amazes me how little people will like look into accounts that enrage them. It's actually not funny, but it's funny to me because of the reaction and because I'm like, this is kind of a genius like business strategy. So she's pretending to be a doctor, keyword pretending. That's what these people aren't realizing, which is why they're getting mad. Basically, it's just this woman dressed in scrubs, and she'll say something about like a patient coming in with a pain in their backside, you know, something always like waist down problems that someone's coming into this doctor about that she's pretending to be. And then the next clip is her getting home later that night and crawling into bed and pretending to masturbate to the thought of that patient coming in. So if you're consuming this content and you're thinking that this is like a real doctor that just got like, I don't know, TikTok trigger fingers and is like, got to keep up with the trends. And so this is just a doctor that's genuinely making this content. If you watch that video believing that's a real doctor, obviously it's going to enrage you, but it's not a real doctor. It's just a woman promoting her OnlyFans account, which I think this is brilliant because every single one of these videos, it's like, I see it. They appear in my feed all the time and I'll see it and it'll be thousands of comments of people being like, you need to have your license revoked. It's like, it would have taken you 2 seconds to realize what the purpose of this account is. And this is like a role play thing that's happening. And it's not a real doctor that's sexualizing their patients. But it's so fascinating to me how like fired up people will get without fact checking or verifying that it's worth getting mad over, that it's like something that is worth that kind of energy. Because I love that passion and energy towards being like, this is fucked up, if it's actually fucked up. But this is just like a role play account promoting someone's OnlyFans. This is not a real doctor. I don't know. I think I'm just very amused at how many people truly struggle with identifying what is real and what isn't on social media. And I think we always say that it's like the older generations that aren't able to clock when something is not what they think it is. But I don't think that it's just the older generations. I think the older generations, it happens to them with more obvious shit. Like when they're clicking on links on Facebook that are obviously like scam links, and they're just, their information just being sucked up every single time they click on one of those. I think younger people are smart enough not to do shit like that, but I see so many young people falling for shit like this, where it's like just so clearly a video that's, you know, to promote something else, but it's designed to get attention and get clicks and enrage people, and it helps promote the account. I don't know. I think everybody falls for those. I don't think it's just an older generation thing, which is interesting. I don't know. It is interesting, though, when it's something that is a very passionate and charged up topic, people just fly right into their spiels and being like, this is what I think about it, without verifying that it's worth that kind of energy. It's funny, though. Life is too short to be having dull sex, which is why here at the Emotionally Online podcast, we love partnering with Mochi Melt, who specializes in the pleasures of human connection, baby. Mochi Melt makes these very luxurious, very delicious lubes to spice up your time in the bedroom. They come in three different flavors so that you can seduce your taste buds with a taste of honeydew, watermelon, or strawberries. It is my firm belief that everybody should have a bottle of lube proudly displayed on their nightstand. That's my energy. That's my vibe. That's what I would like to see more of in the world. Because using lube is sexy and it makes the experience so much more enjoyable. And I just don't believe there should be any such shame in incorporating more lube in the bedroom. So if you're looking to spice up your sex life and add a beautiful bottle of lube right on your nightstand, you can get 15% off with code EMOTIONALLYONLINE at MochiMelt.com. That's 15% off at MochiMelt.com when you use code EMOTIONALLYONLINE. Anyways, how we doing? How we feeling on this fine fall afternoon? I am in the process of building a menu for my family's Thanksgiving because I am in charge this year. First year ever, and I'm kind of excited about it. I always have offered to help with Thanksgiving, but my mom is the kind of person that's like, all of you get out of here. All of you get out and nobody touch anything. And she'll complain about all the work that she's doing, but if you offer to help her, she'll not accept any of it and she'll get mad that you're in her way. So Thanksgiving is not my mother's favorite thing to do. She's been saying for years that she doesn't want to do it anymore. And then this year when I called my parents to let them know when I was coming home for Thanksgiving, they were just like, yeah, I think we're just going to go out to a restaurant on Thanksgiving. And I was like, why on earth would we do that? This is like the whole point of Thanksgiving is to have a nice home-cooked meal and sit at the dinner table together and have like make a whole day out of it. Play games, have a little fun. We go out to restaurants all the fucking time. Why would we do that? Why we can go out to a restaurant any other day of the week, and we will. You know, when I'm there for the 5 days that I'm home, I'm sure we will go out to a restaurant at some point while I'm there. So I was like, absolutely not. You better cancel this reservation. It's my turn. It's my turn to do Thanksgiving. First, it was my grandmother that always did it for the family. Then my mom took it over, and I was like, well, I guess now it's my turn to take it over. So I'm doing it. I'm doing Thanksgiving. Obviously, I'm not hosting it here in my apartment. I'm going to my parents' house, but I'm the one that's cooking. I'm the one that's planning. I'm the one that's setting everything up. It's all me. And I'm actually really excited because I've been doing my monthly dinner party thing for the majority of this year. Haven't done hit monthly since the summer. Because I was traveling so much and life got a little crazy. So the last one I did was in September. As I'm recording this, my mom just called and left me a voicemail because all of the menu that I'm doing, I have to run past her to make sure it's good. Please just listen to this voicemail.
Give me a call when you're ready to discuss.
That's it. That's the whole fucking voicemail. So serious. Literally, this is like the biggest task that I could have been given, but I feel equipped for it because I've been hosting dinner parties throughout this year. I've hosted quite a few at this point, and I'm a great host. I am not a chef. I am a host. So having to cook all the food and manage the timing of all the food is going to be interesting. I'm going to get my sister to help me, but the table setting is going to be the best this family has ever seen. Okay. The little details of the hosting, it's going to blow your fucking mind, mama. And this also feels like good practice because I'm sure I'm going to have to do this again on Christmas. I feel like I'm just taking over both of the family holidays now because my mom doesn't want to do it anymore. And fair play to her. It's probably a lot hosting for our entire fucking family every year and nobody helps. But also, she doesn't want anybody to help. So, but I also understand that because sometimes I don't want anyone to help me either. And it's like, I don't want you to help because you won't do the job the way that I want the job to be done. So I just want to do it myself so that it'll be good. But also I don't want to be doing this at all. So I get it. I get it. Whatever. Understand. Understood, mother. I am your daughter and I get it. I do. And I understand and I see you and I relate. But also I would have helped her all of these years if she wanted me to, but she actively did not want me to. So I'm starting to prepare for that now. So I'll call her back once I'm done recording this episode and we will finalize this menu and I will see what I need to acquire in terms of serveware and things like that. I would just bring all of my stuff, but that is so fucking extra. And I don't want to travel with my nice glassware and shit. So my mom's going to have to buy some nice... nice funky serveware to keep at their house so that I can throw dinner parties that are up to my par. I'm not a huge fan of like the early 2000s looking corny holiday serveware, table setting shit. I find it so ugly. It's not my thing. And growing up, this is so rude of me, but I always used to tell my parents that I thought the way they decorate is like so ugly to me. They're getting better at it now because they live in a beach house now. So now their house is like very, very beach house coded. It's like, I've talked about this before, I think. Their house is like, it's ripped out of... like if you had to look up like beach house 50-year-old mom vibes, that's my parents' decor style now that they live on the beach. But when I was younger, it was like early 2000s, warm toned wood chic. It's just like so ugly to me. The like oranges and the yellows and the like orangey browns, those tones just everywhere. I hate it. I hate it. Oh God. Our whole house had like this yellow, it was like off white, but yellow toned walls. And I was like, why? Like, this is gross. The vibes are off in here. And, anyways, so I feel like a lot of their serveware and decor stuff also has that same energy of how it was when I was growing up. So I might need to influence my mother to get some better holiday items. I like holiday themed decor pieces and serveware, but it has to look like classic if it's gonna be a little kitschy, a little corny, you know? It has to have a like clean, classic holiday feel, not a, you know, middle-aged woman in the early 2000s feel to it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. We can make fun of my style in 20 years when it's, you know, dead and gone. But I just don't know. I don't know that it'll be like that. I just... I feel like I'll look back on my style right now in 20 years the same way I look back on my style in middle school, where I'm like, oh, it's so ugly, but I love and live for it. Like, there's something nostalgic about it. The, like, I don't know. It's like the poop tone era, where it was just everything was orange and yellow and brown, and it was all just so warm and chaotic and ugly. Ugly.
Ugly.
So bad. hate it. So we're going to have to shape things up, my parents' house. Acquire some nice decor and table setting stuff that is going to just be more my style, my speed. And we can also use it for Christmas and for years to come. So it'll be a worthwhile investment. And this is what I'm going to pitch to my mom when I call her after this podcast episode. I bought a Mrs. Claus corset yesterday because I needed one. Because it is what I deserve. And somebody had to say it. Let's talk about it. Because the closer we get to Christmas, I think I'm going to put up my tree this weekend because it is what I deserve. I got sent an advent calendar in the mail. Fucking, I'm ready to start buying people gifts. And when they come, I need to be able to wrap them. And so I need to be able to put them somewhere. So I need to set my tree up. I need to acquire some more Christmas decorations because I really don't have any besides my tree and mine and Mango's stockings. So I've got to do all that. So anyways, telling you this because I have thought many days of the week over the last 2 weeks about how badly I feel in my bones that I want to engage in a Santa and Mrs. Claus role play situation. There is, the thought of it really does something for me. I've never thought of this before, genuinely. This has not been something that has plagued me for years. This is this year, all of a sudden, I am very interested in this. So who are you going to do this with, you ask? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not seeing anyone. But I feel like I need to own a hot Mrs. Claus costume. So I have acquired one. And I think it's like, there's something about, I was saying to someone yesterday that it's like, I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus, awakened the universe to how Santa could be a sex symbol, right? It really put him on the map in that way. And like the idea of on like Christmas night, kids go to bed and you dress up as Santa and Mrs. Claus to put the presents under the tree just to like do sex. it's role play. That's what's going on. And you're doing it because it's like a whole little dramatic bit. Like you're just like, as a married couple who has children, we're putting presents under the tree. We could just fucking do it and go to bed. But no, for the drama and for love of the fucking game, we're going to dress up like Santa and Mrs. Claus and let this whole thing be foreplay. The whole month is foreplay. Why have I never thought of this before? It's the horniest time of the year, mama. And it all comes down to this. Fucking in a Santa and Mrs. Claus costume. It's what I want. It is genuinely what I want. I don't need to. The thing is that I have no intentions of having children. So it's like this fantasy of the kids are in bed and we've got to put the presents under the tree. It's never going to happen because it's not what I want for myself. So in my head, it's like the whole month leading up to the Christmas party. Or Christmas Eve. But really, it's like whatever is like your big Christmas thing of the month. It doesn't necessarily have to be Christmas Day, because I feel like if you don't have children, sometimes Christmas Day isn't like the biggest celebration of the month. Like I know my family now is like, we all just sit on the couch all day and like use whatever we got. You know, oh, I got a new makeup palette. I'm going to do my makeup and that's it. That's all we're going to do today. So it's like the Christmas is not necessarily the most exciting day of the year. It's the stuff that comes before, the festivities. I would love to throw a Christmas party and I dress up as sexy Mrs. Claus. Obviously. And I'm the hostess with the fucking mostess. Okay. I set up the whole place. Vibes are immaculate. And the person that I'm seeing dresses up as Santa and they're so helpful to me all day. They're so helpful, and they help me host, and they're very welcoming to all of my guests. They're very charismatic. They just get the whole thing going, and it's like dynamic duo, Santa and Mrs. Claus. Energy is here. It's happening. We're in the holiday spirit. And then when everyone leaves and I close the door, last guest leaves the apartment, that's when the real party begins, baby. The whole thing was a setup. It was a ruse so I could fuck this man. I want it so badly. I'm not kidding. I've thought about it every single fucking day for the last like 2-3 weeks. It's so hot. Santa is so fucking hot. That's my type. What are we talking here? Of course that's my fucking type. I don't know. Why have I not realized this before? That's my type. That's my type. Big, bald man with a beard. Big, bald, and bearded, baby. Ah! That's my type. That's my type. Holy shit. Revelations have been had. Who's gonna be my Santa? Fuck! It's the most wonderful time of the year. When can I start listening to Christmas music? I think today. It's November 8th when I'm filming this. And you know, when I was younger, I used to have more opinions about this. About Christmas starts after Thanksgiving and don't do it before. But now I have a different thought. And here's what I'm going to say. Is that November 1, Halloween decorations actually stay up. Halloween decorations don't have to come down until after Thanksgiving. But November 1, you can also put your Christmas decorations up. But you have to keep the Halloween decorations up at the same time. So that way, during the month of November, before Thanksgiving, you have Halloween and Christmas decorations to get like is that not the vibe of November? It's like half spooky, ooky pumpkins and fall vibes, but also we're on the cusp of, I don't know, ornaments and reindeer and garland and wreaths. There's overlap, right? So when we push them together, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, this is Thanksgiving somehow. Somehow it works. So I think that's how I feel now. I do believe that Thanksgiving should have some of their own decor, but a lot of my Thanksgiving decor is just my fall decor. So it's like, that was already up in October. So it's part of Halloween inside my brain, you know? So we just got to add Christmas in November. We get a good smorgasbord of two. And then after Thanksgiving, we go straight to Christmas. We leave Christmas up until a few days after New Year's. Not a full week. A few days. Okay? We've got some rules around here. But I do feel ready to start listening to Christmas music right now. I was singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." All day yesterday. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting when loved ones are near. What's the other one that I really like? Oh, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. And then when it goes back and forth, it's like boom, 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 boom. I love that song. People hate that too. Like the amount of times I've heard people say that they hate Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, I'm like, guys, do you have any taste? It's a great Christmas song. Also, what's the one that was like that? It was like a British super group that they did for charity. Don't they know it's Christmas time? Whoa. I like that one too. So I don't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for me to replace listening to Cobra Starship with Christmas songs. Is it time? Just kidding. I'll always listen to Cobra Starship. Even though they broke up in like fucking 2012. I will always love you, Cobra Starship. I was listening to One Night by Cobra Starship yesterday. Gotta live like we got one night, one night, one night. Okay. Banger and a bop. Everyone knows it and everyone loves it. Everyone that has ever known it has loved it. Okay. It's only the best song ever. Just kidding. Hot Mess is better. One Night, another banger and classic by Cobra Starship, though. And I was sitting thinking to myself, I was like, realistically, if I knew that I had one day left to live, don't fucking tell me. Like, if we found out, I've thought about this, if we found out, we got an alert on our phone, it's it, the end is here, pack your bags, except it doesn't really matter because we're all going to die. If you knew that, like, we were all going to die one day, that's all we got. Like, don't tell me. I don't want to know. You know? Some people are like, yeah, if I knew, I would do all of this. I would tell all of these people that I love them. I don't know. Or even if it, let's say it wasn't all of us and it was just like they were wiping New York City off the map. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. It's not going to make me live any fuller to know that I have 24 hours left to live. It's just going to riddle me with anxiety for the last amount of time that I have left. It would actually ruin my last 24 hours. So if I'm going to die, if I have one day left to live, nobody tell me. Nobody tell me. Just let me have a good day, okay? And let death come on swiftly and painlessly. Because knowing isn't going to make me behave in ways that are all of a sudden, I did everything I needed to do. I closed the chapter. I can die now. Like, there's too much. There's too much to be done. 24 hours isn't enough. So just don't tell me. Because I don't believe in living like I'm dying, living like I have one night. I don't know what that means. That sounds like a lot of anxiety to me. It sounds like I wouldn't leave my couch if I knew that. I would just be crying. I don't want to know. I don't. So unrealistic. I remember always having that thought when I was younger and a virgin, like in high school, when I would think things like that. And I would be like, if we found out alerts come to our phone mere hours left before Earth blows up, what would you do? And in my head, I was always like, I would go outside and immediately find someone to have sex with me. I do not feel that way anymore. Little did I know. Like, sometimes I think about that. I'm like, okay, let's say that did happen. World ended when I was 16 years old. World ended in 2012. This is why I was thinking about it so much. Let's say the world ended in 2012 and I was like, well, the world is ending. It's time to make sure I have sex for the first time before I die. And then it's just like I get free bad sex before I die. The last thing that happens to me in this lifetime is I am disappointed. Is I think to myself for all these years that I really want to have sex and know what that's like. And I just, you know, I'm horny and I'm 16 and I'm like, please. And then the world is ending. And the last thing that I know before the world ends is mediocre dick. And I think, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Is that all there is, my friends? Oh, let's begin. That's exactly what would have happened. All right, anyways. Oh my God. This was not what I had written for today's episode, by the way. I went completely off the rails. So before I go any more off the rails, let's get back on the rails and talk about some of these audience submissions. If you don't know, there is a submission box for this show where you can submit anything and everything that's on your mind that you would like me to bring up at the sleepover. These can be topic requests, they can be advice requests, am I the assholes, anything that's going on that you would like to bring up, that you would like to vent about, that you would like to get the people's opinion on, you put it in that submission box and I will pick a few to read out at the end of every single episode. Hello, Maddie. I love listening to your podcast. Thank you for giving so many of us the opportunity to commune with you in this way. thanks for being here. What the hell? Recently, I have been wanting to pursue more close, intimate friendships with women and femmes. When I imagine it, I always go back to when I was younger and visited an online friend in a different state. I stayed with them for a week and they brought me into their small friend group of about 5 to 6 people. We spent the whole time driving around, skinny dipping in the local pond, doing each other's makeup, photo shoots, and falling asleep in one big bed together while watching movies we had rented at a local video spot. For the 7 years since then, I've been hoping to find something like that experience that makes me feel so held and so free, but I haven't found that in my area. I have a few close friends, but I'm not much of a texter, and we see each other pretty rarely, once a month to once every few months. How often do you speak with your closest friends, whether through text, calling, in person, etc.? I am not really on social media anymore, meaning I'm not super in touch with pop culture, and I feel like I don't have much to say, so texting frequently seems super daunting to me. However, seeing my friends communicate with others on a frequent basis makes me wonder whether I need to do that to find the intimacy I'm looking for. What advice do you have for a fellow lover that is looking to develop close, loving relationships with other women? So let me start by speaking to the first thing you asked, which is how often do you speak with your closest friends, whether through text, calling, or in person? Yeah, I am not the world's greatest texter. Texting to me is like a sit-down task. I can't explain that. So if I'm being a good texter to you, it's because I'm not multitasking when I'm talking to you. If I'm texting someone and I'm being a good texter, it's because I'm laying on the couch watching a podcast while we're talking, or I'm laying in bed scrolling on Instagram while we're talking. It's like if I'm doing anything, I'm not a good texter. So if I'm being a good texter, it's because I'm not doing anything else. And usually I've got shit to do. So I'm just like really shitty at texting. I'm definitely more of a caller, FaceTimer over a texter. And so instead of just texting people and having a conversation that way, I'll be like, da-da-da, such and such a thing happened. We need to FaceTime debrief. Are you around later? And we'll just schedule some time in. I'll text my friends all the time and be like, I'm in need of like a FaceTime date, a FaceTime catch up for my friends that are not based in New York. And then sometimes I'll just call people on a whim, but I'm usually the type of person that will text in advance and be like, are you around? Just because I feel like I don't know anyone's schedule, but, I definitely do not have deep, extensive conversations with all of my friends on a daily basis, for sure not. I mean, there's definitely quite a few people that I talk to close to every single day, but it's not like we're having meaningful conversations every single day. Sometimes it's just like a quick catch up or sending them a screenshot of some clothing item I bought that I'm excited about, or they share a book that they read with me. We're sharing video links back and forth. Sometimes it's just little things like that and not necessarily a big conversation. The only person that I feel that I update in real time on like everything that's going on in my life is Ashley, and everyone else, it's like, I'll update you when I see you sort of thing, and not like, I need to stay in constant contact with you. I don't know. Phone stuff stresses me out. I would much prefer to just make plans with people, which is also why I started the trivia team and started a thing where it's like everybody hangs out every Wednesday. So I know that I see all of my trivia friends on Wednesdays. We make other plans all the time, but even if we don't hang out that weekend or make other plans, I see them on Wednesdays. I also host a Jersey Shore watch night on Sundays a lot of the time. So I also have an opportunity to see them on Sundays. And so I think having like religious times to see people. So it's like every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, I have set up times for me to see these people helps, because then it's like I don't need to spend my day texting you and updating you on every little thing in real time, because I know I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'm going to see you in 2 days, you know? So stuff like that has been really helpful for me to get like off my phone more and just be in like a regular routine of seeing people in person. But for the people that I don't regularly see, it's a lot of calling and FaceTiming and scheduling that time. But yeah, I'm not in constant contact with anybody really. I mean, Ashley's probably the only person I'm in like pretty constant contact with, but it's not like we're having long, in-depth conversations every single day because we, you know, she lives in Boston, I live in New York, and we both have our own lives that we're doing on the day-to-day. To me, the frequency of communication doesn't seem to matter as much as the substance of the communication. Like, the people that I speak to the most frequently, it's not like we're having in-depth conversations every single time. Like I said, sometimes it's just like sending video links back and forth, sending book recommendations, clothing stuff, you know, just stuff that we're seeing throughout the day. But those aren't the texts that make me feel close to someone. That's just like, you know, a part of knowing someone and knowing what they might like and what they might find funny and sharing it with them. What makes me so close with these people and what makes my friendships feel so rich is the like intimate one-on-one moments and conversations, whether that's phone calls or FaceTimes, dinners, wine nights, you know, time to actually catch up and indulge in each other, to like truly know each other is more important than just like speaking every day for the sake of speaking every single day. Though I also think it's special to share small moments with each other. Like, I don't think it has to just be we only FaceTime for big moments or for big catch-ups. Like, I think it's also fun to do like a quick 20-minute phone call. Oh, I'm walking to trivia. I've got 20 minutes on the phone. Let me call this person and see if they've got 20 minutes and just ask them how their day was, you know? I don't think that we need to be in constant communication with people. I think it's more about setting aside like quality communication time, whether it's, you know, 10, 20 minutes while you're on a walk, or it's sitting down for an hour FaceTime over dinner, or actually making plans to go out with someone. I don't know. I'm not someone that really believes that texting is of high importance in any relationship. And that's because I'm not very good at it myself. So, I don't think that it's necessarily the most important thing when you're looking to develop deep relationships with people. I think it's more about having the like initiative to create meaningful plans with someone that matters more than like texting frequently, you know? Hello, Maddie. I adore you and I've always admired your insight and willingness to embrace other people's emotions and vulnerability. I've been going out with this really sweet guy for the past month or so, and I think we've been comfortable with one another. He slept at my place, no sex, on the first date and has done so the next dates that followed. After meeting him on Hinge, I stopped checking the app for myself because I want to concentrate on one person at a time. But I was out with my friends one night and they wanted to see how the app worked, so I lent them my phone to see my recent matches and I saw that he had changed his pictures to more recent ones. This made me feel awful, which I don't know if I have a right to feel that way since we haven't talked about being exclusive or anything, so I deleted the app right away after that. He also told me that he's a one-person kind of guy, so I'm confused, but I'm also hesitant to ask him and inevitably bring up the what are we conversation. What should I do? Yeah, I've been there before. And it's not fun. It's not a fun feeling. I think even when the other person is not doing anything wrong, like he hasn't done anything wrong by changing his photos, that doesn't mean that we can't feel upset about it or feel like, oh, ouch, that stings a little bit. And I think that's perfectly fine. That's a very normal reaction. I had that same reaction when I noticed that someone that I was talking to did that. I think we all function differently. We all operate differently in dating, which is something I have to always remind myself. But something like that is difficult because it's something that when I'm looking at that action through my own lens of how I operate in dating, because similarly to you, I'm someone that when I am interested in someone, I'm like one person at a time kind of girl. I'm not very good at dating multiple people at once. I'm also just not very interested in that. I would rather date one person, see how it goes, let it run its course, and then, you know, keep dating other people if it turns out this relationship is not the right fit for me. So, because I operate the way that I do in dating, and because if I changed the photos on my profile while I was seeing someone, it would mean I wasn't interested. So seeing someone else do that, obviously it brings up feelings of like, oh, ouch, because you like them. And this is an action that through your own lens, through how you would behave, that would mean you're not interested. And so of course it hurts because you're like, I like this person. I'm enjoying seeing them. I thought things were going really well. And now I've just seen them update their dating profile. And to me, it's hard to not take that a little bit personally. I totally get it. With that being said, I don't think that just because there are people out there that don't operate the exact same way that we operate, it necessarily means something bad. I mean, honestly, I think that most people in like early stage dating, just going out on casual dates, are not just dating one person at a time. And that's fine. People are totally allowed to do that. It's just not how I personally operate. So I think when it is an early stage dating and we haven't established any, you know, exclusivity or boundaries or direction of where our particular relationship is going, until we've hit that point, I'm not going to read into things like that or go searching for reasons to upset myself, because just because it's not how I would act doesn't necessarily mean it has to be like the end of the connection. I think with some people it just takes them a little bit more to even want to focus on exploring one connection. But also I understand if they have said that they are the type of person that dates one person at a time, to then see them, it also feels like, well, hello, I thought we were similar, but if we're similar, this sucks. Like, I kind of hope we're not similar. You know what I mean? All of that to say, I just want to validate that how you're feeling is totally fair. And if I were you, I would just try to sort of forget this for a second, but use this as a learning opportunity to understand something about yourself a little bit more. So you've had this moment where you saw something that you didn't really want to see. It kind of upset you. But what you've learned here in this moment is that maybe you are interested in taking this relationship to the next level and establishing some sort of exclusivity or boundary, or just seeing, opening that conversation up to see how they're feeling in the relationship right now, if they are ready to sort of up the commitment level a little bit. Take this as a moment of learning. This thing happened. It made you feel this way. And instead of letting this thing really upset you or letting yourself really read into it, take it as a learning. You learned a little bit more about how you feel about this person. You've learned that maybe you do want to take it a little bit more of a higher investment. And now I think the proper course of action is just bringing it up with them. And I don't even really think that you have to necessarily bring up the fact that you saw them update the dating profile. I think you can just open up a conversation of like, how are you feeling? Where are you at? And tell them how you're feeling, because it really doesn't matter that they updated their profile. You're allowed to feel upset by it, but it also doesn't have to be a bigger thing. It doesn't need to be an indicator of anything. I would just open up the conversation and let them answer. If you like him and you want to see where things are going and up the investment a little bit, be vulnerable and fucking say that. He'll react and you'll get your answer. Maybe it is not that deep, or maybe it's not a good match. Who knows? But you don't know until you ask. So I have a friend that I met in grad school and I want to hang out more often, but due to a lot of different things, I don't really have a good excuse to hit her up and hang out. A few months ago, she invited me to hang out for her birthday, but I couldn't go. After that, life started throwing hands, so there was no chance to reschedule anything. I feel like it would be really out of the blue to hang out now, but I don't want to lose out on a good friendship. What would you do? I think you're overthinking it way too much. I don't think you need a reason to hang out with someone or make a new friend. When I meet someone cool and want to be their friend, I just tell them that. Last week, I met these two girls. I went on their podcast. It's coming out soon, maybe. I don't know. But I met them for the first time when I went on their podcast. And afterwards, I was like, I just need you to know that I have like the biggest friend crushes on you. And I would love to hang out. Like, let's get dinner. Let's get brunch. Let's do something. I think you guys are so cool and like would love to be your friend. Just say that. I think like everybody loves hearing stuff like that. Maybe there's a new restaurant you want to try and you want to see if they'll come with, or there's, you know, some holiday market that could be fun to go to, see if they're around. And if you're not in grad school anymore, you could say that you really miss them and you'd love to catch up and hear about what's been going on in their life. Ask them to dinner. I just don't think that we need an excuse to hang out and want to be friends with people. I think you can say anything at all. And I think it's also a beautiful thing to just say someone straight up that you want to be their friend, or that you have a friend crush on them. I do it all the time. People love it. I'm telling you. It's a smash hit in the friend department. Don't be nervous to tell someone that you want to be friends. That's beautiful. I just go for it. Just do it. I don't think you need an excuse. Hello, Maddie. Firstly, thank you so much for putting your heart out there with the content that you create. I can't tell you how much I've grown by watching you grow over the years. I love that. Secondly, I'm curious to know what you, as an endlessly loving and hopeful romantic, think of the saying, love comes when you least expect it. I usually find that most cliches have at least some grounding or truth to them, but I just can't quite get my head around this one. I always hear these stories of people saying, when I finally gave up on love, that's when it came, but I don't think I could ever possibly give up on love. I'm always romanticizing the potential of meeting someone anytime I go out into the world. I guess the whole giving up on love thing is usually framed as synonymous with focusing on yourself or being comfortable alone. But to me, those things have nothing to do with each other. I'm a hyper-independent person and I've been single my whole life. I've spent and continue to spend most of my time trying to build a life that I am proud of, independent of any other person. In that same breath, I'm almost never not thinking about love. It just feels like part of the essence of who I am, a fellow water sign, if you couldn't tell. To think that I'd have to shut down that part of myself to ever find love feels so unfair and impossible. And whilst I don't want to believe it's true, I keep seeing more and more people echoing the same story of only finding love once they release the hope for it. So, do you think there's any meaningful takeaway buried in the sentiment that love only comes when you least expect it? Or is it just our cultural infatuation with unexpected love stories repackaged at some kind of universal truth? Bingo! Yeah, I hate this saying. I think a lot of cliches around love in particular, I don't find that I agree with or can even find the inkling of truth in there. I think when people, I've always sort of taken it as people who say and believe things like love comes when you least expect it are people that got lucky and managed to meet a good match for them young. Because I don't think that anybody that's like been in the dating game and has spent a good chunk of their life single thinks that. I think, like, I don't know, whenever I hear someone say that love comes when you least expect it, it's because they had some type of spontaneous love story where they met someone out of the blue and they didn't see it coming, and because that was their experience, they just regurgitate that to everybody else. But I don't agree with it. But yeah, I feel the exact same way that you do. I don't think there would ever be a time in my life where I wasn't expecting love and I didn't care about love. And I also don't think there needs to be. Like, I think that this also connects to when people say that you have to love yourself before you can love somebody else, which, number one, I think is a stupid saying at all, because I think that our ability to love other people is not dependent on how our relationship with ourselves is. So for number one, I think that's dumb. But number two is people will say that to single people to be like, stop looking for love, stop dating, like, it'll happen when you least expect it, it'll find you, just focus on loving yourself and it'll come to you. And it's like, babe, I've loved myself the whole time and it hasn't come to me. What are you talking about? Like, I've loved myself for years and I didn't magically get a partner because of that. It's not like a magical solution. You love yourself and everything falls into place. Like, it's just not how it works. That is actively tested and verified, not how it works. And it always used to frustrate me when that was the response. And usually it would come up when maybe I was venting about just like frustrations in dating and somebody in a relationship says some shit like that. Because the thing is it usually doesn't come from other single people who like understand how you're feeling. It's people that have no idea how you're feeling that are like, it happens when you least expect it. Just love yourself. And it's like, no, stop. It's so unhelpful and also untrue. Also, I completely reject the idea that there is something wrong with a longing for community, love, support, companionship. These are things that all of us need. It is the spice of life, you know? I am a very independent person. I love my alone time. I enjoy my singlehood. There's no part of me that is wishing away the era of life that I'm in right now. That doesn't mean that I'm not also able to hold space for my longing and my desire for a partner, for a companion, for someone to do life with. Just because I look forward to the day where I meet someone that is a good match for me in that way doesn't mean that I'm wishing away the life I have right now. I love my singlehood. I love my independence. I love the life I have right now. The same way someday I will love partnership. I will love compromise. I will love being a good partner to someone else. You know, I can hold space for both. It's not a pick one or the other sort of deal to me. And I think it's so silly to tell people that they shouldn't long for love and companionship and partnership. That is like such a beautiful thing to long for. And it is something that we all need. Nobody can go through life on their own. We all need people in our lives to hold us up and support us. And obviously, I'm not only talking about romantic love, I'm talking about all kinds of love when I say that. But I have like such a problem with people minimizing those of us that want romance. I have such a problem with people looking at people who want to fall in love, who dream of romance, and sort of belittling you into feeling like because you want romance, it means that you are not good at being alone or you're fixated on this outcome and you just need to forget about it. I don't know. For me, I think this also connects to like how our culture treats single people. I think a lot of people speak to and think of people that are single as like having failed something, or that they must be so lonely and depressed, and there's a lot of pity for single people that I don't really understand why it exists. I think a lot of that pity tends to come from people that haven't experienced singlehood in long periods of time. So they don't understand, they have no ability to understand what it is like to be single for long periods of time and to develop a like really strong relationship and foundation within yourself, and to still keep looking for this partnership and to be patient and just enjoying where you're at, enjoying your singlehood, and still longing for and looking for a relationship. People for some reason have a hard time imagining a world where that's like a joyful experience and like a curious one where you're constantly learning more about yourself. They see it more as like a depressing thing, which is just not true. And it's more of their own projection than anything else, right? So I don't know. I think phrases like that are kind of silly. For some people, I'm sure love does come when you least expect it. But for a lot of people, I'm sure they expected love all along, you know? I don't think that that's a cliche that even close to covers the majority of people's experiences. The same way when people say things like, you need to love yourself before you can love somebody else, it's sort of a reductive take. All right, so with that, we're at the end of the show, and I need to go give my mother a call back. We've got serious business to discuss in terms of this Thanksgiving menu. But thank you guys so much for watching. If you want to see more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Maddie Drosbeck, and of course, watch my YouTube videos at Maddie Drosbeck on YouTube as well. I love you so much. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next week. There.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.